Stefan and Peter came on Tuesday and we listened to Pastor Schaller, and he's always good to listen to. I was really blessed. He read from Psalm 119, and I'm going to start from there, from verse 97, and I just go on and read a few verses. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And there are just a few interesting thoughts in it. He was speaking about meditation and how that when we open the Word of God, we read and we understand and we want to go deeper in understanding. And he says here that this Word, the Word of God, is always with me. And this is one way of meditating. I read something and I try to remember and recite it. I will remember. And of course I can taste it in my mouth. I can also think about the meaning. I can think about other places in the Bible which speak about the same thing. And just really try to understand the meaning. And he spoke about it because it seems that meditation is something that we have lost in a way. He shared some statistics about families or children who watch TV, what the effects of watching TV or having the TV always on in the house has on children. And it was quite scary to listen to. I don't want to speak about it, but he just emphasized this thought about meditation, that I want to fill my mind with thoughts, and I want to keep them, I want to retain them, and I want to think about those. And then I would like to, I don't know if I will have 3 points, because I didn't have time to finish my preparations. My colleague came, and I had to drive him home so that I would have the car here. But he speaks about several things here. Loving the law of God, because his commandment makes us wise. Then he speaks about not turning aside from it, in verse 102. And then he speaks about doing the right thing. I know what is right, and as a consequence, I know that everything that's not that is wrong, and I'm going to do what the law says, what the word says, what God says, and not something else. And that's just something that comes as a consequence. If I know what is right and what is true, then I will also think that everything that is not right is automatically wrong. And again, we live in a world when these are not so obvious to us. We think that people can be right even if they don't agree in what they say. I have heard it so many times that everybody is right in their own eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, every story has different angles. Everybody has their own perception. Mm-hmm. And then they are right from their point of view. And maybe that's a little bit of a different discussion, but we also think that there are things that are true, there are things that are right, and that means that other things are not true, and then they are not right. So from here, you can, as Pastor Schaller would say, you can keep your finger here and you can turn to 1 John chapter 2. And I'm not going to have any other places to turn to tonight. But I trust God that this is going to be something good. So in 1 John 2 from verse 18, John says, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. And what he's speaking about is people who might come to church, who might belong to the congregation, so to say, but they are not spiritual people, and they turn weird and start speaking about things that they shouldn't, maybe. And this is a big subject. There are some who say that probably very little percentage of the churchgoers are saved. I don't know if it's important in one way to be too involved with that or think too much about it, because I think as long as people come to the place where the word is preached, then they can get faith and they can get saved. But he's speaking about the spirit of Antichrist, and he's going to give more definition later. But when I was in Hungary, I was talking to somebody, and she expressed her disappointment. She's disillusioned with the church. And I asked her why, and she says, because I realized that those people who are there, who are supposed to be godly people, are many times not that. But they are superficial, and they have motivation in life that's not spiritual. And I feel like I have lost my innocence. She says, I know that this is a step in becoming an adult. She was young. That I understand that my eyes are opening. And I understand that not everything is what it seems, and not everybody is who I assume they are. And we had a good conversation there, but I was thinking, yeah, there are people who we assume are somebody, but they are not. And many times it's not about deception by, you know, consciously on their part, but it's because who we are in our nature is just who we are. We cannot change it. Only the Spirit of God, only the new nature, only new birth can make a person to be spiritual. And this was something that we heard about by Pastor Scheller also on Tuesday. The spirit and the soul are separated by the word, and this is what we are going to talk about. We read in Psalm 119, we love the law of God, we meditate on it, and we hide it in our heart. And then we know what's right and what's wrong. Then we know, then we see what's right, what's correct, what's godly, and what isn't. And there are no shortcuts. I got to tell this person that everybody has to go through these disappointments. Mm. And it is a very natural part of life, as she understands as well. Mm. We understand that we are all saved by grace. Mm. And Pastor Matti said it, and it got stuck with me, really, because this is what I believe, that even as Christians, What we should be happy about is when we do something right, because that's not automatic. Automatically, I don't know anything the way I should. I don't do what I should. I don't even do what I think I should. I am inadequate in myself. And it's only when God empowers me through His grace that I have the right understanding, that I have the right mind, that I have the right spirit, that I have the right words, that I take the right action. And that is not automatic. It is because it happens in the spirit, in the new man, and that's the new man's nature. But this is something that is a miracle every time when it happens on this earth. So So we are learning that we don't put high expectations on each other. We don't try to put anybody in a box because we don't know who they are. We know anything is possible, but we know that God is here to work through His grace. And two things that are important in His work is the Word and the Spirit. And this is, we have read already about the Word in Psalm 119. It's the law, it's the precepts, it's the rulings of God that we read and meditate on. And this is very important. I know you know this, or if you don't, then you get to hear now that we only learn right from wrong through hearing, through reading. And anybody who gets saved, even if they come from a Christian background, it doesn't matter. We have to make this adjustment in the mind. The mind has to be renewed to understand, to separate the soul from the spirit, the old from the new, right from wrong. And it happens through the Word of God. So, antichrists are coming. They were among us, but they were not from among us. Then in verse 20, he says, and it's the same thought in verse 27, he says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Verse 27, he says, you have an anointing, and you don't need anybody to teach you, but this anointing teaches you about everything. And this anointing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the oil. And the Word is Jesus. I forgot to say this, but this was among my first thoughts, but since I don't have my note. Isn't it fantastic that when we think about truth, we don't have to think about an abstraction, but we think about a person. There's one who is always right. There's one who is always good in everything that he wills and says and does. And that's God. Jesus was God in the flesh. And we read about it, for example, in John 1. He was God in the flesh who came and dwelt among us. When we talk about truth, we think that as many people there are in the world, as many truths there are. It depends on your point of view. But actually, he is the only one, and he is always true, and he is always right. Whatever he says is true because he cannot lie. He cannot be wrong. He cannot be mistaken about anything. And he sent the Holy Spirit, and that's a promise that we read about in John 14, 6. This Spirit is, no, John 14, 17. The Spirit is defined as the Spirit of truth. And also in John 15, 26 and 16, 13, is the Spirit of truth. So in this verse, in 1 John 2, we read that we don't need any human teacher because we have a teacher who is the Spirit of God in us. He is the Spirit of truth. And it doesn't mean that we don't need or we cannot listen to another person and learn anything. But it means a human teacher who teaches from the soul, who doesn't know what is the difference between the soul and the spirit. There's nothing in this world that can be new to the Spirit of God. There's nothing that can be more right than that which the Spirit wants to teach. And there are so many issues which we could talk about. I just take one of these, like, does everybody have the same right in society? Is it okay to take some minorities and give them equal rights when it comes to sexuality or whatever you can say? people are getting educated in these areas all the time. Societies change, the rules change, what's right and what's wrong changes as we move on in time. But we have another teacher who teaches us. I think this is one of the funniest things, you know, something that wasn't right 30 years ago is right now. Something that was right is not right anymore. And you just need to get used to it and get going, you know, have that mindset and change in your thoughts and go with it. But the spirit of truth is a spirit that cannot change. He cannot lie and he cannot be wrong. Mm-hmm. He is eternal. He has always been. Then he says something else here. He says that the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, is a lie. They are liars. And in verse 22 he says, "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also." And I thought that was a very interesting thought, because people speak about being spiritual, people speak about some kind of God, people speak about believing in God, but he makes it very simple here and says, if you confess God, then you must confess the Son also, as his anointed one, as his Messiah, as the Christ who came to this earth. And if you think about it, there's nobody who can confess that. Jesus, for those who accept that Jesus is a real person, is nothing else but a moral teacher, or maybe not even that. There are these people or ideas about the historical Jesus. That means that when you think about the person of Jesus, you remove all the miracles and all the unbelievable things that he obviously couldn't have done, and then you are left with a real person who was just like you and me, didn't have any divine power or didn't have any radical claims, and that's what they call the historical Jesus. And where am I now? The spirit of Antichrist, who is a liar. Why is it so important to attack the person of Jesus? It's because of those things that are written about him, because of the authority that he had to teach. He said about himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father only through me." And this is exactly what we read here, that who denies the Son doesn't have the Father, and who confesses the Son has the Father as well. The Father has provided the way for us, and that is the Son, and he is the truth, and he has sent us the spirit of truth who teaches us about these things. So verse 24 here in 1 John 2, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." We read in Psalm 119 that the word of God can make us wiser than our enemies. And we cannot overstate or overemphasize the fact that we have enemies. And these are spiritual beings who are very smart, who have had thousands of years to adapt themselves to how to do warfare with men in different ages, different times, different ideologies. And we need to be wiser. We need to know more than our enemy. Our enemy gives us projection. This is a word that might be new for some. Projection is a thought that is not my own thought, but is projected by somebody, like the projector. And it comes to my brain, and I think that it is my own thought, but it's not. And what these thoughts are I become insecure, for example, about the person of Jesus, or about which portions of his teaching I should take seriously, or about eternity. Does eternity really exist? Am I an eternal being? What happens when I die? And certain portions of our hope are being attacked. And so this is what he says here. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. The truth that God has given to us is valuable, is precious, and it needs to stay in us. Maybe I never say, I don't want to confess that I am falling away, so to say. But some things, some truths that I used to believe strongly start to fade in my life. And it's because I need this word to be hidden in my heart. I need to put it back in my mouth, take another bite, chew on it a little bit, enjoy it, meditate on it. This is what Pastor Shava said. That he didn't say it this way, but I would say the lost art of meditation. We receive so much information from other sources, and maybe we even know how to sort them out. But I need to be strong in the truth. I need to put it back in my mouth and chew on it and meditate on it and abide, let it abide in me. So I'm not writing it because you don't know, but because you do know, he says. Verse 27, he repeats again, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. This anointing that we have received abides in us. It will not leave us. This is a whole other subject, but somebody was very happy on Tuesday when we met, because she understood that God will always stay with her. He will never leave her. He has committed himself. He has united us with him. And the Holy Spirit was given like a ring on the finger. Actually even more than that, because it cannot be removed, only surgically, from us. It's just great. We have received this anointing, and it will abide, or he will abide in us, and we can abide in him. And let this anointing teach us. I said already that we need to meditate on the word. We need to understand that this word is a person. It's a living person. Truth is a person. And that he can never be wrong. He can never be mistaken, he can never lie, and that we are called to a relationship with him, and allow him to teach us. And this leads me on to the last portion that I have, or just one thought, and it's that if I'm honest with myself, I have to say that many times what I read in the Word does not make me very happy. I'm thinking about the message of the cross. We know that even our salvation is a painful message, because it tells me that I'm not good enough on my own. And this is why the soul has to be separated from the spirit. This is why I need to be spirit taught, because I cannot live up to God's standard, because I'm fallen in my old self, who I am. So what I'm saying is that it is possible that the Spirit wants to teach me. I have the anointing, and this Spirit of Truth speaks to me when I open the Word and read. But somehow I have a resistance in receiving it. And the Holy Spirit is not going to enforce himself on us. And I think this is also something that I would like to mention, because sometimes we Christians have false ideas, and one such false idea is that if somebody is born of God, then things will automatically happen in our lives. I will believe what I don't want to believe, I am going to do what I don't want to do, and so forth. Maybe it's just an incomplete thought about how God works, because I do agree that He can drive us on our knees and bring us into a state of humility where I can accept what He's telling me, but He's not going to go around my will and force me to do what I don't want to, but He's going to involve my intellect to give me reasons. He is going to use my conscience and bring bad conscience if I don't do what's right, and that it can be very painful. Actually, I listened to somebody, I thought it was funny, he said that he used to listen to Pastor Stevens. That was a very long time ago, when before he got saved. He said, whenever I listened to him, I went home and I had a horrible stomach ache. It's just because I didn't know what conviction was. God was convicting me, and I thought that I just had a nervous stomach. So we have an anointing, we have the Word, and it speaks to us. But there's this narrow gate and a narrow path to walk on, as we heard again on Tuesday. And I think that's very interesting. I have all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of desires, all kinds of driving forces, which are from my old me, who I am. And they all want to lead me astray. And then there comes the Word of God, which is sharp, and it wants to separate the soul from the spirit, and He does that. And that's an interesting portion, actually, there in Hebrews 12, where it speaks about the sharp sword that separates. It's like the animal that's laid on the altar, and the priest cuts it, because there's a portion that goes to God, and another portion that it will be eaten by people, and then some more things that will be thrown away. So the Word has to separate, it has to cut. It's like a surgery. And it's not pleasant. Many times, it's my experience, but I think you can also understand it. When God speaks, and I have a resistance, and I know it's true, because the Holy Spirit tells me it is, but I just don't want it to be true, and I don't want to definitely I don't want to have anything to do with it. I need my will to make a decision about what I'm going to think. And this leads me back to this thought again, what I said, that we are used to thinking that everybody can be right. Nobody should say, I am right and you are all wrong, because that's offensive. Everybody can be right. And I feel, sometimes when I come to God, I feel also like, I can also be right. Don't take this from me. Don't hurt me. I'm going to make a change, but not now. I'm going to do it later. It's just a little thought for us to think about. And I go back to those main thoughts, and we finish here. Psalm 119, the Word is my meditation, and it's precious to me because it makes me wise. It can make me wiser than my enemies, and I need to be wiser than my enemies, because my enemies have a plan to keep me away from God, to keep me away the truth. The truth is not just an abstraction. The truth is the person of God, and it's written for us on pages that are holy, that cannot be changed, that I don't have to question, like, which sentences are for me and which sentences are not. And also He has given me the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. This is an anointing that teaches me. But in order for me to be able to receive that teaching, I have to allow Him to make this separation, as a knife separates to separate the soulish from the spiritual, to separate the old from the new. And it happens when I give my permission for him to do so. And this is an awesome privilege to have. And what I wish for ourselves is that we could rejoice in this truth, like the psalmist says, that this word is precious, it's sweet, it's beautiful. And I know we feel like that when we listen to the word. There's a rejoicing in the soul, and we know that these are words of life. And that word is eternal. It will always stay with us. This body will not remain. This whole world that we live in is not going to remain, but the word of God will remain, and that means also unchanged. So that's, what could be greater than that on this earth? People long for significance, something that would last, to be involved with something that is meaningful and is lasting. And we have this, and as an extra bonus, it's not only meaningful and lasting, but it's the very thing that brings happiness and joy to all those who expose themselves to it. So let's pray and finish. Thank you, Jesus, for Psalm 119 about the Word. Thank you for 1 John 2 about the Spirit, who explains, interprets the word to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't leave us as orphans when you left, but you sent a comforter, somebody who's always with us. And Lord, we ask that you destroy the works of the spirit of Antichrist that's around us. You know in what ways he's trying to destroy faith in people, in churches, in groups. Lord, we ask that you keep us sharp. Thank you for this church that you have blessed us with wonderful people and a wonderful teacher, a wonderful memories, heritage. And we ask that your anointing would always stay with us. God, we want to abide in you because this is precious. Thank you that you are with us every day, wherever we go, whatever we do, whether it's at work or at home. You are with us. We depend on you, Jesus. Thank you for this evening. Bless us as we still continue talking. Bless our meditation. Bless our night. And we go to sleep. Renew our strength. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah.